97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
For you on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. How about that? Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Yeah.
My body's moving. Why does this music just do this automatically?
It's Cool in the Gang.
I feel like I'm at a wedding reception or something.
You know my Cool in the Gang story, right? I have a Cool in the Gang story. I had to go see Van Halen when they went on tour that last time in 2012, I think it was. And I landed, they weren't coming to St. Louis, so I had to drive to Louisville to see them. And I show up, and whoever was going to warm up with them, they swapped out at the last minute for Cool in the Gang. Cool in the Gang warmed up for Van Halen.
What?
Sounds Louisville. Amazing, though.
Well, I mean, it's the same kind of era, isn't it? I mean, it's...
Let's put it this way. Everybody sang along to every song. Yeah. Everybody knew the songs.
Nobody
right?
was disappointed.
It wasn't the kind of hard rock you might think would warm up for Van Halen. That's all.
But it's like the Macarena.
Yeah.
Most people just, you know. It's
at a wedding.
We were celebrating good times.
Exactly. Funky chicken.
I played Ladies Night because you two are going to be schooled this hour.
No, by a couple of ladies.
By people who have done many amazing things dealing with 2A and... the great outdoors.
Well, we have an adrenaline junkie that we're going to be talking to. And I married a subadrenaline junkie. My wife explained, she goes, I don't like adrenaline rushes. She did.
Laid, you know, back.
And we're just laid back.
That's
exactly.
Okay.
But we're going to talk to Megan McKeithen Turnbow, and we're going to get an update on her life as she celebrated as being an instructor for the NRA for 10 years. And I've known her for a long time. And she's, you remember when the dentist shot the lion and the story, you know, just wrecked the world and broke the internet. I went to her because she's done some international hunting, and she explained at that time, which nobody was hearing because everybody cared about Leo the Lion or whatever his name was, and she explained, no, in these parts of the world, it's the only form of income that they can find is tourism to do these big hunts. But of course, nobody was hearing.
Nobody
that,
cared.
No.
Nobody cared. No. Oh my gosh, you had a lion.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So anyway, so that, and then we're going to travel the world. Also, we're going to be talking to somebody that's our travel writer, which I always find interesting because it gives me the fantasy of going to where they've talked about.
Well, and I just bought a bigger camper than the one I had, and we are already charting out trips where we can drive and pull the camper and hang out, and she's got a great article out with the 10 of the most underrated states in the country. So that's that. I'm looking forward to that because I'll give me some ideas on where to go.
I'd like to put a ribbon on the subway shooter story. That was a horrible, horrifying thing. I've seen tons of video that, you know, of course, everybody's got a phone and a camera in their hand. I'm so glad that they were able to find that guy. Still waiting to figure out what goes on with that story and how that guy will be charged, but that was horrifying. But Mark, did you hear about the story? U.S. gun makers were asking a judge, this is about a week ago, to toss a lawsuit of $10 billion from Mexico because the Mexican government is accusing these gun makers of facilitating the trafficking of weapons to drug cartels.
I thought Eric Holder was the only one who did that.
Fast and Furious.
Go way back. What's his name? Ollie North. didn't he provide some weapons or something? Wasn't that back in the 80s?
Not to Mexico.
But
it was Eric Holder who did that. It was Eric Holder who sold the weapons to, I supposedly tracked them coming back across the border, and then a U.S. Border Patrol or ATF agent got killed with one of those weapons. And that story never went anywhere. That guy should have probably gotten in serious trouble, been in jail. Nothing ever happened with that.
Well, it says that the drug cartels are you know, getting the attention of the Mexican government. Maybe the Mexican government is trying to clean up their act. I don't know. It sounds like it. But the lawyers for the gun makers, including all the big ones, Smith & Wesson, Sturm, Ruger & Company, they're expected to, during a virtual hearing, to ask U.S. District Judge F. Dennis Saylor to toss a novel lawsuit Mexico has filed for $10 billion.
Let's go after
the gun makers in another way. That's what it says to me.
How about cracking down on some of your cartels down there, and you won't have that kind of problem? We can't solve Mexico's drug problem.
No.
You're not going to.
But they've obviously, you know, maybe the guns have made it there.
Maybe they're using ghost guns. How do you say ghost in Spanish? Maybe they're using ghost guns in Mexico.
Phantasma.
Which we know is not a thing.
Is Bill Murray involved in this operation?
It's not a thing here. It's not a thing there. The closest thing we have to ghost guns is Beetlejuice up in Chicago.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You know, I listen to you on my way in every Monday through Friday on your morning show to prep for St. Louis Talks.
Well, thank you.
And I wanted to point out that I would like you to go to the Odyssey app and find Wednesday's show. We had Kevin Killeen on, and Kevin was alerted by an unknown source that people have been along the riverbank shooting at barges. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it was a fascinating story. And of course, Kevin, you know Kevin Killeen.
Sure.
He is a raw reporter. He will get in front of anybody. He actually got to a barge company president and talked to him, and they talked about the specifics. But people are like down by the JB Bridge, just randomly shooting at barges.
Taking pot shots at barges.
And the speculation is it could be people buying illegal firearms, you know, like illegal sales, and they need to practice.
Shoot it into a tree,
right? But they're not going to go to the. They're not going to go to the range.
You can't hear the tree. You want to hear the bing.
Yeah, yeah. And there's something to that. I mean, as a BB gun owner, when I was a little guy, that was pretty cool to hear that. Stop sign go bing or whatever. You know? So anyway, interesting story. Wednesday's show of St. Louis Talks on the Odyssey app.
Well,
you should
I
find
hope
it.
They catch him. It's a whole nother story, right?
Well, yeah. And the shot spotter. The shot spotter?
Yes.
Do you know around how many shots have been detected by that system in St. Louis?
It's only in certain areas. They don't have it all over the city.
Since the beginning of the year, 3,600, I think, is what the number was. 3,600.
Wow. That includes New Year's Eve, too.
Maybe. But anyway, so interesting stuff that we talk about on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Because you got to talk about it somewhere, and that's why we're here. We love that. Hey, coming up, if you've considered a vacation for this summer, somewhere you're going to drive to, we're going to talk to a young lady that, honestly, for her age, has probably traveled more than just about anybody you know. In fact, when we talk to her, we're going to get a hold of her in Milan, Italy. Oddly enough, but she's got an article out about the most underrated states to visit in the United States. And we will get to Catherine Parker Magyar on here coming up when we continue on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and part of the Great Outdoors is traveling. Whether you're traveling locally, around the country, or internationally, we've got a great guest that you want to pay attention to. We've been trying to get her for a couple of weeks now, and we finally locked her down. But that's what happens when you have somebody traveling the world, living out of a suitcase. Catherine Parker Magyar, New York-based writer and editor, Departures, Architectural Digest, Forbes, The Daily Beast, The Week, Trip Savvy, Business Insider, World Travel Magazine. You may have seen her name before, and we have her on now because it's interesting because you love to travel, but there's a reason why you love to travel. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, ma'am. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to finally catch up with you guys.
So what got you the traveling bug? What got you the gypsy genes running through you?
So I blame my parents. When I was growing up, we did these cross-country road trips where we would start in New Jersey and then go to California and back. And my mom and dad, we did that about like 6 times. And I have 3 siblings. And I remember one summer, I feel like 2 of them were in car seats, but just seeing how vast the country is, and it sort of instilled a curiosity in me. And then also, I think, you know, when you're a kid and you grow up traveling, I feel like now as a travel writer, I was doing those sort of trips like for fun as a kid, you know, wake up early, go to the local spots, like go to the museum, see everything in a day. And it's funny because then I had a period in college where I was like, I just want to go to the beach and chill.
Yeah.
But then clearly I've gone back to it. So and I think definitely those road trips going up.
And I'm sure in the last couple of years, travel might have been a hindrance or a hassle to do. So what are you promoting right now for people to get some more information about traveling around the country?
So it's funny. I was based in Jackson Hole, Wyoming for like the past year. And it has been really, people have, because international travel has been more difficult, people have really sort of been refocusing on national parks in the American West. And based on like my experiences growing up, but those were always areas that I was interested in, like had knowledge about, but I was focusing more on far-flung locations. So, you know, shifting that perspective and really, like, emphasizing, like, the road trips, the national park tourism. And then now that we've got, you know, we have the vaccines and it seems that, you know, they just mentioned, I think it was yesterday, that all of these airlines are lifting their mask mandates, which is, you know, exciting. That if people are still hesitant about going overseas, like, unexpected spots within the U.S., like, cities that are cool that maybe don't get as much attention sure. as the places that you're first to think about.
Yeah, you know, and as we, and Mark Cox here, nice to talk to you, Catherine. Right now, as you speak to us, you're in Milan, correct?
I am.
That's exciting.
I know. I'm actually here for, not for work, but for play. One of my best friends is in grad school here. So came out to visit, and then we're going to the Venice Biennale this weekend, which will be fun. But yeah, and traveling here was actually like really quite easy too. Now, you know, they've really lessened the restrictions. Like I have been traveling internationally again since I got vaccinated. So I guess June, I went to Maldives in June 2021 was my first you know, time after traveling, having not traveled really for like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been crazy during the pandemic, for everybody. So. It's been crazy. You know, yes. You talk about the American West. A few years ago for my wife's birthday, she had never been west of, she had never been west of South Dakota.
Okay.
So we flew to San Francisco to do some hiking in the Redwoods area, and she couldn't believe, she's from upstate New York, she couldn't believe how vast and giant this country that Catherine just referenced. It is such a beautiful country, and then you go and take a road trip out west.
Yeah, I love Glacier. I went to Glacier National Park. And ended up in Jackson Hole last summer. I mean, we love that part of the country. So what you've done is basically pick 10 states that maybe fly under the radar when people are planning domestic trips.
Yes, I'm doing a series with Business Insider based on, you know, having been to all 50 states. You know, which states have best national parks there. I focused on, which ones I think are actually the most underrated.
Nice. So I'm sure Missouri's on there somewhere, right?
Oh, come on.
No, I have to say, and I really, whenever I write these stories, like I think there's something unique and really cool about visiting each state.
Yeah.
Truly. Like you don't need a passport to experience different cultures. And I mean, you both were just mentioning, you know, between Glacier, the Redwoods, Jackson Hole, like there's so much beauty within the U.S. I mean, America is huge. and there's so much of it because we have this amazing national park system is so untouched that there's something to experience in every state. So I hate to play favorites, but you know, for the West, I said South Dakota, I actually think is underrated.
Oh yeah. I mean, to travel across it, to go to like Sturgis during that time of the, it is straight. It's flat on the motorcycle. The wind from the North in Canada blows south and you literally are riding at like a 45 degree angle. But these sunflower fields are beautiful. But once you get west far enough, the Badlands, it looks kind of creepy out there.
I love the Badlands. And also that they have like this Buffalo Roundup and this arts festival at Custer State Park. And, you know, there's so much, and obviously a lot of Native American history in South Dakota as well. I think it's funny because, you know, Wyoming and Montana were actually under visited. Like some of the lesser visited states before the pandemic. And they've obviously had banner years because of that. But I do think South Dakota, and I also included Idaho, is underrated.
Yeah, I've never been to Idaho.
Like they haven't gotten this. Idaho's spectacular. And it's funny because if you go across the Teton Pass, like from Jackson Hole, you have these amazing views
right
over in Idaho. And it's still more, you know, it's not super developed. And
so let me ask you this. I also attribute some of the urgency or some of the interest in the Wild Wild West from shows like 1883 and Yellowstone. But that's just me. But have you seen any of any people like that? Because in the information I have, you like to travel, but you really like to meet new people.
Have I seen people? Yes. I mean, what's funny is that, you know, depending on where you go within America, like there are just different, I mean, you're experiencing, it's like going to a different country in a way,
oh, yeah.
You know, like experiencing a different culture and lifestyle. And there, I mean, definitely like with the tradition of people who are still actual cowboys. Yes. In Wyoming, particularly in Wyoming, the cowboy state, whatnot. But like, you know, a lot of Wyoming until you get to the north, to the northwestern part, which, you know, you're going to get Yellowstone, you're going to get Jackson Hole, is much more flat too. And definitely like it's the least populated state in the country. So you definitely do experience like the kind of, you know, Americana that you think of when you think of like a show like Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And country music. I now listen to country music when I'm out there. You know, like
you were in Jackson Hole just long enough, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. You know, I honestly, when I first went to Montana, I'd never been there. We flew into the area there near Glacier National Park, and I went to my first rodeo in Montana, and it was It was an epiphany for me. I mean, it really was.
Really?
I've been to rodeos around the country before. It's just a different breed of people. And I enjoyed that experience. And when we went back again, I had to go do that again. So you're right. You go to these different parts of the country and you're meeting just regular down-to-earth people who live life with a different attitude than you might experience in your daily life.
Totally.
And it gives you a better appreciation, too, for like that's really what makes America so wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, because we do have, and I mean, just, it's so accessible and easy to travel within, like, within the U.S., like, where it's almost like the road trip, like, the highway systems that we have, like, everything is available and accessible to you. Even, like, driving, I drive from New Jersey to Wyoming all the time, and I'm like, you can go, I can wake up in New York and, like, get to Chicago by dinner time. You know, and people don't, like, really realize, you have to be kind of crazy and just, like, you know, hit the road, but...
The last time I was in Sturgis, we were on our way back, and I wimped the year that we went because we had an RV and a trailer. So we, you know, there's a joke about, I went out to Sturgis for trailer week and a few motorcycles showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're trailering in a beautiful RV, and I look over, and we're in the middle of South Dakota. I look over, and I see this little Sportster, a woman on a Sportster by herself, nobody around her, running down the highway, and it said New Jersey plates. I was like, dang, she's got a lot further to go. And she ain't got no bathroom like we do.
So,
you know, New Jersey is an underrated state, I said, too. I am from New Jersey, as you know, we've mentioned. But, yeah, I had to put New Jersey on the list.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I have, obviously, my reasons for it. But, you know, we're like Wyoming's the least populated state. New Jersey's the most populated state. And I must say, like, we are all over the country. I do feel that way. I'll see a New Jersey plate everywhere.
I honestly
always, like, represent.
Sparta, New Jersey is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Yeah, there are a lot of really gorgeous areas, and New Jersey is so tiny, and it has, like, obviously, like, the shore is its own sort of, like, it's its own thing. Then you have the horse country, and then Patterson has, like, such cool, like, American literary history, but it really gets the worst rap. But, you know,
well, because of the taxes, they get the bad rap because of the taxes. My dad lives in Oceanport, literally 5 blocks uh-huh. from the water, and never goes to the pier, never goes to the beach, no. never goes to the boardwalk. It's crazy. Oh, well.
Yeah. Of course. So Catherine Parker Magyar is our guest right now. She's a writer. She's doing a piece is it Business Insider, right?
Yes.
On these top 10 states that kind of fly under the radar. We've covered South Dakota, Idaho, New Jersey so far. What else do you have?
So Utah, which is funny because I think that it's becoming more and more, like, people now are more aware of how amazing Utah is, particularly internationally, though, I find. Like, if you read, like, international travel journalism, people are always focusing on Utah. But essentially, like, the national parks in Utah, it looks like the moon. It's insane. Like, if you do the Big Five, particularly the Big Five road trip, like, Bryce, Arches, Zion, Capitol Reef, Canyonlands, like, just in terms of just, like, visual splendor, it's unbeatable. It looks like the moon. So wow. That rounds out, actually, like, for the sort of American West portion there. I also included Nevada as well, because I think everyone loves, like, everyone obviously is aware of Las Vegas. But, I mean, aside from, like, Lake Tahoe, I have to tell you, like, I was really impressed and loved Reno. And I love the surrounding areas and the deserts. And it was so beautiful. And there was such a cool, like, the Nevada Art Museum and the cultural history there and, like, the art scene and the food scene. Like, it's, you know, there's more to Nevada than Las Vegas. And I feel like that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. And talk about road trips. Like, so much of Nevada is still very wide open. And, like, Death Valley is crazy. My family, last time I was really doing a road trip in Death Valley, I remember the air conditioning broke. And it was so hot that people were, like, dropping eggs on the side, on, like, in the parking lot to see if they would fry.
And they would.
not a sales point, in my opinion, yeah.
You know, something that's common among a lot of the states that you're talking about, Catherine, is the fact that you can get every season in a lot of these states in at the same time. Yeah. Like, in Vegas, it's, you know, it can be 95 degrees. I left on a charity motorcycle ride from Vegas. We went up to the mountains, and I couldn't understand why people were wearing stocking caps. Steven Tyler's wearing a sock. And because there was snow up on there, and we went to it, and it was like, wow. And so there is so much beauty out there. But where can people find your article and get more information on these top 10 underrated states?
Yeah, so my article is on Business on Insider now, but you can visit my website at KatherineParkerMagyar.com or follow me on Instagram at KatherineParkerMagyar, and I link to all of my stories.
Catherine, pleasure having you on. Enjoy yourself over there in Milan. Sounds like a great time.
Thank you so much. It was so fun chatting with you guys.
Yep. We'll have you on again maybe for the next article, right? When she just goes and
talks. Yes, I'd love that.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
All right. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors continues, and coming up, a friend of mine, and I don't know if you've ever met this woman, Megan Turnbow is actually celebrated her 10 years as an NRA instructor, and she is outstanding. We're going to talk to her about firearms, because it is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. That's Mark Cox, and that is Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, and the race continues for me to get my very first suppressor, and I've been working with Razorback Armory. It's coming. I don't know when,
yeah.
But I keep getting emails with updates from Silencer Shop. So if you're in that market to get a silencer or what you know some people call it suppressor, Razorback Armory does a great job, and I believe that I'm going to win this race because I'm in competition with a police chief that's also getting his very first one. Do you have one yet?
I don't, but I just saw another gun store the other day bragging on Facebook about getting a whole bunch of mail, and they were hoping some of those were the tax stamps.
There you go.
So I didn't see the conclusion of that story, but I'm under the impression that it's speeding up for everyone. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
And there is a meal on the wager with the police chief out in Eureka. And so go to RazorbackArmory.com to find out more and go visit them in De Pere. You know, we talked to somebody that was a traveling expert, Catherine Parker Magyar, in our last segment. And quite honestly, our next guest, I travel vicariously because she's always traveling around the country, whether she's hunting or on vacation. Dear friend from a long time ago, Megan McKeithen Turnbow. We dropped that part of it because now you are running this world solo. You good? How are you, Megan?
I'm doing very well. Yes, I'm single, solo, and doing fabulous. Thanks for asking.
You know, Cupid could be in the air right now. We don't know, but somebody might be like,
wouldn't that be nice to find my person? Yeah.
Your person. Well, she has been a huntress extraordinaire for a long time. Give us a little background, because I don't know if, Mark, if you've ever met Megan.
I don't think Megan and I have had the pleasure of meeting yet. So, Megan,
well, nice
great
to meet you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
I was on a show, Archer's Choice, for 10 years. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I've hunted bear and alligator, deer and boar and buffalo. Whatever I can go hunt, I will. I love it. Yes, I eat what I harvest, in case anybody wants to know that. It's all organic and delicious.
And you have great recipes.
I do. I have great recipes and just love the outdoors.
Well, you know, the main reason I wanted to get you on, because you're not on a beach somewhere drinking a glass of wine at this moment, I don't believe.
No, too bad.
You could be. I mean, you could be, because these phones do everything. But
and I work remote, so
exactly.
It's nice.
You just celebrated 10 years as an NRA instructor, and I saw that on Facebook, and I thought, man, that is so cool that you have been engaged in Second Amendment rights and safety and training and hunting for this long. What does that mean to you to be a representative and an instructor for that long?
Well, I feel really honored and blessed that I'm able to be an NRA instructor and help people understand, you know, safety and how to use a firearm. You know, with the world of uncertainty, you know, increased violence, war, people are looking for more opportunities and options to protect their family and themselves. So firearm sales, as you know, have increased. Ammo sales have increased. It's kind of hard to find some ammo at times, but it's really important that people feel safe. And, you know, with that, I feel it's my, I don't know, my calling, my blessing in order to give back to the community to help people understand how to use it and how to be safe with it in order to successfully use it when needed.
Well, the numbers are up, Megan. I mean, I don't think it matters which firearms store you frequent. You
right.
Just ask them. You know, I happen to work with the guys over at the Range St. Louis West, and they tell me that they do a class once a month called Girls Just Want to Have Guns. And, I mean, it's packed. It sells out every month. So clearly there's an increased interest, not just in hunting, but in the shooting sports in general, I think, among women.
Oh, I so absolutely agree with you. You know, there's a lot of single women out there, and a lot of, you know, a lot of us want to ensure that we're safe and that our families are safe, a lot of single moms. So I'm really excited about the increase of women getting firearms and taking the steps needed to utilize it, to understand how to clear it, secure it, use it safely, practice it, because you're not going to master anything unless you practice it. So you have to understand how to use it and practice it in order to feel confident and comfortable in an emergency situation.
And I would like to point out to you, Megan, that that's if you have one or two weapons. If you have several, like you know, a lot of people do, you've got to be fluent on all of that. If you have, you know, 10 different vehicles, you can't just jump in and drive everyone exactly the same. You know, there are different nuances with each one. So I believe that, you know, keeping them cleaned and being familiar, just having them in your hands, whether you're at the range or not, that's also very important to know where the safety is, you know, where, you know, how the trigger pulls, you know, that kind of stuff, just the nuances, right?
Oh my gosh, you are so absolutely right. That's why I do not recommend just going out and saying, hey, I'm going to buy a gun and just buying one. You need to go to a range like Range St. Louis or Extreme Tactical, Arnold, I forget the name right this second, but anyway.
Hold on. It's right there in Imperial, right? South of Imperial?
Right.
Oh, that's terrible.
But anyway, whatever.
I have obviously not been there in a long time, and that's wrong.
Me too, I guess. But anyway, you can go to those shops, and you can take different firearms and practice them and figure out which one is the best one for you. Not every one of them feel good in your hand. My hands are small. Other people's hands are big. Also, ladies, you know, your man will probably want you to shoot a 45. Well, you may not feel comfortable with that. You need to start out low. You need to start out small. I recommend starting out with a 22. Not that I would carry that for my conceal and carry.
Yeah.
But it teaches you how to shoot and shoot correctly. Then you can go up into like a 380 or a 9mm for, you know, knockdown power and self-defense. So there's steps to it. And like you said, Bo, I mean, different guns have different things. Shotguns, rifles, they're all different. So you definitely need to take time to understand each firearm that you have and know how to use it.
Top Gun, by the way.
Top Gun.
your membership's not up to date. My goodness.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, I've worked hard, you know, with my daughters to make sure that they were familiar with firearms at an early age. Like, you know, took my teenage daughter to the range recently, took the 22, let her shoot that Ruger 22 that I have first.
Perfect.
Let her try the 380, and then made her try the 9. And the first time she shot it, she laid it down and said, I don't want to shoot that again. Made her do it again because I didn't want her to walk away fearful of it. And
right.
by the time we left the range that day, she'd put a couple of magazines through it and was feeling much better about it, although she still preferred the 22.
Right.
Of course. Well, of course. But yeah. Bravo to yeah. her. And yeah. as she gets older, she'll...
It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. That's Mark Cox, and that is Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, and the race continues for me to get my very first suppressor, and I've been working with Razorback Armory. It's coming. I don't know when, but I keep getting emails with updates from Silencer Shop. So if you're in that market to get a silencer or what you know some people call it suppressor, Razorback Armory does a great job, and I believe that I'm going to win this race because I'm in competition with a police chief that's also getting his very first one. Do you have one yet?
I don't, but I just saw another gun store the other day bragging on Facebook about getting a whole bunch of mail, and they were hoping some of those were the tax stamps that
had arrived.
So I didn't see the conclusion of that story, but I'm under the impression that it's speeding up for everyone. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yeah.
And there is a meal on the wager with the police chief out in Eureka. And so go to RazorbackArmory.com to find out more and go visit them in De Pere. You know, we talked to somebody that was a traveling expert, Catherine Parker Magyar, in our last segment. And quite honestly, our next guest, I travel vicariously because she's always traveling around the country, whether she's hunting or on vacation. Dear friend from a long time ago, Megan McKeithen, Turnbow, we dropped that part of it because now you are running this world solo. You good? How are you, Megan?
I'm doing very well. Yes, I'm single, solo, and doing fabulous. Thanks for asking.
You know, Cupid could be in the air right now. We don't know. We don't know, but somebody might be like,
"Wouldn't that be nice to find my person?" Yeah.
Your person. Well, she has been a huntress extraordinaire for a long time. Give us a little background, because I don't know if, Mark, if you've ever met Megan.
I don't think Megan and I have had the pleasure of meeting yet. So, Megan,
well, nice
great
to meet you, Mark.
Okay. Thank you.
I was on a show, Archer's Choice, for 10 years. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I've hunted bear and alligator, deer and boar and buffalo. Whatever I can go hunt, I will. I love it. Yes, I eat what I harvest, in case anybody wants to know that. It's all organic and delicious.
And you have great recipes.
I do. I have great recipes and just love the outdoors.
Well, you know, the main reason I wanted to get you on, because you're not on a beach somewhere drinking a glass of wine at this moment, I don't believe.
No, too bad.
You could be. I mean, you could be, because these phones do everything. But
and I work remote, so it's
exactly.
Nice.
You just celebrated 10 years as an NRA instructor, and I saw that on Facebook, and I thought, man, that is so cool that you have been engaged in Second Amendment rights and safety and training and hunting for this long. What does that mean to you to be a representative been an instructor for that long?
Well, I feel really honored and blessed that I'm able to be an NRA instructor and help people understand, you know, safety and how to use a firearm. You know, with the world of uncertainty, you know, increased violence, war, people are looking for more opportunities and options to protect their family and themselves. So firearm sales, as you know, have increased. Ammo sales have increased. It's kind of hard to find some ammo at times, but it's really important that people feel safe. And, you know, with that, I feel it's my calling, my blessing in order to give back to the community to help people understand how to use it and how to be safe with it in order to successfully use it when needed.
Well, the numbers are up, Megan. I mean, I don't think it matters which firearm store you frequent. Just ask them. You know, I happen to work with the guys over at the Range St. Louis West, and they tell me that they do a class once a month called Girls Just Want to Have Guns. And, I mean, it's packed. It sells out every month. So clearly there's an increased interest, not just in hunting, but in the shooting sports in general, I think, among women.
Oh, I so absolutely agree with you. You know, there's a lot of single women out there and a lot of, you know, a lot of us want to ensure that we're safe and that our families are safe, a lot of single moms. So I'm really excited about the increase of women getting firearms and taking the steps needed to utilize it, to understand how to clear it, secure it, use it safely, practice it, because you're not going to master anything unless you practice it. So you have to understand how to use it and practice it in order to feel confident and comfortable in an emergency situation.
And I would like to point out to you, Megan, that that's if you have one or two weapons. If you have several, like you know, a lot of people do, you've got to be fluent on all of that. If you have, you know, 10 different vehicles, you can't just jump in and drive everyone exactly the same. You know, there are different nuances with each one. So I believe that, you know, keeping them cleaned and being familiar, just having them in your hands, whether you're at the range or not, that's also very important to know where the safety is, you know, where, you know, how the trigger pulls, you know, that kind of stuff, just the nuances, right?
Oh my gosh, you are so absolutely right. That's why I do not recommend just going out and saying, hey, I'm going to buy a gun and just buying one. You need to go to a range like Range St. Louis or Extreme Tactical, Arnold, I forget the name right this second, but anyway.
Hold on. It's right there in Imperial, right? South of Imperial?
Right.
That's terrible.
But anyway, whatever.
I have obviously not been there in a long time, and that's wrong.
Me too, I guess. But anyway, you can go to those shops, and you can take different firearms and practice them and figure out which one is the best one for you. Not every one of them feel good in your hand. My hands are small. Other people's hands are big. also, ladies, you know, your man will probably want you to shoot a 45. Well, you may not feel comfortable with that. You need to start out low. You need to start out small. I recommend starting out with a 22, not that I would carry that for my conceal and carry,
yeah.
But it teaches you how to shoot and shoot correctly. Then you can go up into like a 380 or a 9mm for, you know, knockdown power and self-defense. So there's steps to it. And like you said, Bo, I mean, different guns have different things. Shotguns, rifles. They're all different, so you definitely need to take time to understand each firearm that you have and know how to use it.
Top Gun, by the way.
Top Gun.
your membership's not up to date. My goodness.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, I've worked hard, you know, with my daughters to make sure that they were familiar with firearms at an early age. Like, you know, took my teenage daughter to the range recently, took the .22, let her shoot that Ruger .22 that I have first.
Perfect.
Let her try the .380 and then made her try the .9. And the first time she shot it, she laid it down and said, I don't want to shoot that again.
But I
made her do it again because I didn't want her to walk away fearful of it. And
right.
by the time we left the range that day, she'd put a couple of magazines through it and was feeling much better about it, although she still preferred the 22.
Right.
Of course.
But yeah. Bravo to her. Yeah. And as she gets older, she'll feel even more comfortable. That's like me going to the range and shooting a judge right now. I understand her feeling. I've done that before, and I was like, whoa. So I do understand that. But good for you getting your daughters into that. My dad did that. My brothers did that. And I really feel confident with my firearms and know that if I need to utilize it in a situation that I can. And that's where you get your confidence and feel safe.
Okay, so you brought up the judge, and my wife and I literally just this morning just had the conversation about, you know, if I'm not hearing you need a firearm, do not grab the judge. Do not grab, grab the .38, grab the .357, grab the .22, but do not grab the judge.
Exactly. I have never fired one.
Are you serious?
I've not fired one.
You have to do that.
It shoots a .410, level, right?
And you'll understand what your daughter felt.
Yeah, that's true. Home.
Or a .45. It's
okay.
A 40, and
I've got .410 or a .45.
Yeah. You'll need a cigarette after it.
No lie. Or a shot of whiskey.
Yeah, or a shot of whiskey. No drinking and shooting. Anyway.
No. Just joking.
Of course. So let me. Okay, we can talk about gun ranges, going and getting comfortable with weapons all the time. Is there, as an NRA instructor, in your experience, is there a place that once you are comfortable with something, is there a place that can give you a simulation of adrenaline, to know what to do under pressure? Because going to a range, it's all control, right? Your hearing is covered, you know, you've got eye protection on, you may be wearing gloves. I don't know what the case is, but it's not a real life situation when you do need a firearm. Is there any place that you know of in the country that offers that?
Heck yes, there's several. And there's one local.
Yeah.
It's Extreme Tactical Defense. You need to look that up. They offer some amazing classes for that and real life scenarios, even like carjacking scenarios and hostage situations, different scenarios where you would feel comfortable if you were out and about in real life situations. So I definitely would recommend looking that place up. And Steve Saltz is the owner, and he's phenomenal. And he also is the owner of Krav Maga. So not only do I recommend learning to use your firearm, but let's say that you don't have a firearm with you. How are you going to defend yourself? Krav Maga is an amazing way to do that, and I'm also a member there.
Wow. No, I'm not. I'm not sure. Next time I'm going to meet Megan, if I get to meet her, I'm going to be very cautious because I know somebody who's got, I don't know if they refer to it as a black belt in Krav Maga, but I mean, honestly, that's some serious stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you.
It is some serious stuff.
She is, I've called her a huntress for over 20 years. She is the Chuck Norris of her gender.
I believe that. She doesn't need a gun. You don't
need a gun. I don't know about that, but I'll tell you, I feel really confident that I could defend myself if needed.
But
they're going to know I'm there.
You can't bring Krav Maga to a gunfight, though, right? You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. So you got the gun first, but if you need to defend yourself, you're ready to go.
Yeah, that Krav Maga can certainly take guns away from people and bring people to the ground. So I recommend both.
Yeah, it's really simple moves, to do something like that. Because, you know, I saw a video of a lady, I guess it's been a couple of years ago. She was a blonde lady, probably about 50, and she just got in her car, and she just had a freaky experience that she was in a parking lot of a grocery store. She comes out, and she was doing a Facebook Live to get this out immediately. Megan, I might have sent the video to you, but anyway, she's like, ladies, I am here to tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are, everybody is vulnerable to be kidnapped. And it almost just happened to me, and she was freaking out and really made a lot of great points, because it's true. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're alone, male, female, or whatever, you are a target to be a victim.
You are a target, and you need to look and be aware of your surroundings when you're walking out from the grocery store, picking your kids up from school, whatever it may be, in the movie theater. You need to be around, know your surroundings and know where the exits are, and just be aware.
It's a dangerous world we're living in, and it seems like it's hard to turn the corner. But we do have the Second Amendment in our favor, and at this point, especially in Missouri, we have great people like Megan that can help you learn how to defend yourself in many ways. I'll tell you what, Megan, it's just a pleasure to get you on the phone. It's been a while, and I've enjoyed my virtual vacations through watching you on Facebook. So thanks for not kicking me off the friend list there.
Hey, my pleasure. You're my friend for life. You and Daisy.
That's awesome. Hey, did you get out for turkey season, Megan?
No, I didn't, actually. The last hunt I did was an alligator hunt, and I'm going back again in July to alligator hunt. I didn't get to go turkey hunting because I went to Cancun instead.
See what I mean?
Sweet.
So, see what I mean? So did sweet. I, virtually.
Yeah, virtually. You'd see that.
My day job is tough, you guys, and I needed to get away. So,
good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you hunt alligators with?
Well, I hunt them with a 204 Ruger.
Okay.
Or a bow. I've hunted some with a bow and arrow. So it just depends. It just depends. But normally a 204 Ruger, you shoot them in the eye. So it's a very small target. So much fun.
Do you own alligator boots?
Not yet, but I have like so many hides. I need to find somebody to make some for me. Mama needs a new pair of shoes.
There you go. Okay, of all the hunts, before we let you go, I'm just trying to get you familiar with Mark, because he does 2A Tuesday on his show. He may want to have you on at some point. What is like your most epic hunt? You've been overseas.
Oh my gosh. I think bear hunting is my favorite. I've went bear hunting in all the provinces in Canada, and I use a bow, and I just love it. I love the challenge. I love that, I don't know how to say this, but they're dangerous, and I love
to
feel that adrenaline.
Yeah.
And just the challenge of getting them close enough to shoot them with a bow. I love that.
Megan, you're braver than I am. I went up to Glacier, and just out of the fear that I might meet one on a trail somewhere, I use it as an excuse to go out and buy a new handgun.
Yeah, you did.
I got a Glock 20 to carry with me up there.
As if that would have helped him out at all?
You don't know that it's going to work for sure, but it's better than a 9mm, right?
In Canada, you cannot take a fire. You cannot take a pistol. So all I had was my bow. I'll take you hunting if you want to go. Let's do it.
There you go.
Damn.
I'm telling you.
Seriously.
The Chuck Norris of the hunter's world.
I'd love to go. That'd be fantastic.
Well, Megan McKeithen, do you want people to find you if they want to maybe learn more about NRA instructing or lessons? Where can they find more information? And you had something else you wanted to mention, too, you texted me about.
Well, that's just the extremetacticaldefense.com.
Go
there if you want to get some classes on safety, if you want to take some real classes with regard to hijacking or clearing a room or hostage situations. Steve Saltz, again, is amazing. He also owns the Krav Maga in Fenton. Just amazing training if you're really serious about want to protect you and your family.
All right. Can they
so for me, I am on Facebook. Reach out to me if you need classes. And I'm also on the NRA site as an instructor.
Okay. And it's Megan McKeithen, M-E-E-G-A-N McKeithen on Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us again on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
My pleasure.
All right, Megan, thank you very much. Wow, good stuff. And I'm getting a bear hunting trip out of the whole thing, it sounds like.
I heard that.
That would be awesome. But I'd almost want to have my sidearm. I'd feel naked.
Maybe you are the Cupid that she needs to find that right guy.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, you never know. Golfing buddies that you have.
Well, yeah.
Hunting buddies. Who knows?
You're working for a bow, aren't you?
I'm trying.
That's
I'm
good.
Trying.
You're working. That's good. That's fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us this week for Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Enjoy it. We finally got past winter and into a little bit of spring. Huh?
I think we're here finally. Good. All right. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.